You never know how the Lord will speak to you and share his plans for your life. Today on Telling the Truth, Jill Briscoe explores scripture and all the ways God shares his will for you. But first, it's hard sometimes to know what God's will is for your life. That's why we want to send you a 5-message series by the Briscoes to help you discover and live out God's purpose for you every day. It's a new Bible teaching called God's Will for My Life. And it's our way to say thanks for your gift this month to help more people hear powerful truths from God's Word through this broadcast. Your support is vital to keep this program going strong. So call today to give and request your copy of God's Will for My Life. 1-800-889-5388. That's 1-800-889-5388. Or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. Now, here's Jill Briscoe with today's message, Finding God's Will for Me.
So you live at the cross and you ask yourself, am I fully surrendered? Will I go any place, anytime, anywhere? There is no way I could have discovered the macro plan for my life if that decision had not been made. And from then on in, as he revealed his will, I had to do what Jesus did. I had to have a personal Gethsemane, a personal Calvary, and a personal Pentecost to do the will that he revealed to me. Because many times the will of God is not what we want to hear about. It is not the pleasurable, fun stuff that I expect God to heap onto my life as if I had a right to all of that. It's the difficult things. And I had to go to Gethsemane, as it were, and pull myself alongside the will of God. And I had to go to a Calvary and remember Christianity is the I crossed out and die to what I would like my plan to be, my purposes, my pleasure. And then I had to ask for a personal Pentecost and the power to do the will of God that had been revealed to me. And so that's all wrapped up in asking you a very searing question. Are you surrendered to God? Anytime, any place, anywhere. You cannot know the will of God without full surrender. Now, once that's settled, there's a wonderful little illustration that Stuart used to give to teenagers in all those years we used to work with kids. And it's a very simple illustration of an aeroplane landing on a runway in the dark. And how does the aeroplane know how to land and where to land? Because there are little lights all along the runway. And the idea is that if the little lights are lit, you'll land safely. Now, some of us are here because we have to land on a decision. We are facing a very important decision, or it's very important to us. And we want to know whether to land on it, whether to come down in this direction or that direction. And so what you need to do is ask yourself, are the lights lit? Is it saying, yes, land? Is the tower telling you it's safe? I'll show you where to land. A lot of people land on decisions with one light lit, which is a very silly thing to do. And the idea is to try and find as many lights as possible lit. I believe you will never get all the lights lit. And there will, in the end, always be a step of faith and a landing that needs to be made. But the idea is to get a few of those lights lit. And what I want to do is talk about those lights for a few minutes. First of all, is the Word of God. Your Word is a light to my feet and a light to my path. Direct my footsteps according to your Word. Be in the Word. Is that light lit? If you've got a decision to make, then every day are you looking for the answer, as well as doing your devotions. When I have a dilemma, when there is a big question of what I should do, a procedure that I should take, and it says in Ecclesiastes, incidentally, that there is a time for every procedure. And sometimes it's a matter of seeking the right time to do something. So I am in the Word and I am doing all my devotional studies, but this is always on the back burner. And suddenly a principle in the scriptures will apply to it, will throw light on it, will show me, and the light will go on. The light will go on. Now, I remember a kid coming to me and asking me to start and visit the pubs where all his friends were and tell them about Jesus. And I didn't know what to do about that. I didn't know whether I wanted to do that, whether other people would see me going into these places, these strip joints and pubs, and think, what's she doing that for? And it would bring dishonor, perhaps, upon Jesus or the church or the organization. And so I didn't know what to do. So it was on the back burner. And I was busy studying and teaching and preparing, but it was there all the time. And it was in my little prayer book. Should I go into these places? And God began to say to me, what's the problem, Jill? And I suddenly realized what the problem was. I was concerned about my reputation. I think I was concerned more about my reputation than his reputation, if I was really honest. And the Holy Spirit convicted me of that. So now I've got a step further. The problem was I couldn't figure out whether to say yes to Trevor and go with him and start this pub work or not. Because quite honestly, I didn't want anyone to see me going in those places. So I'm looking in the scriptures and I have it in mind and I'm reading this and I'm reading that. Nothing seems to gel. And then I get into the book of Philippians. And in Philippians chapter 2, it describes the great graph of grace that Jesus made from highest heaven to lowest hell for you and for me. And in the middle of Philippians 2, it says this: he made himself of no reputation. A light. And God said to me, so what are you worrying about yours for? He did this for you, now you do this for him. And the light came on. Now, I did not start that pub work on one light, but it was a light. And then you can say, confirm it, God. And suddenly, out of the scriptures, it all began to tumble. Go into all the world. Don't wait for the world to come to you. Light, same light. And principles began to pile upon principle. So I don't open my Bible and it says, go into the pub with Trevor. Doesn't work like that. But you take the will of God from the Word of God, and the Word of God reveals the will of God. And it will never reveal anything contrary to the Word of God. That doesn't happen. And then you're obedient to what you discover. Can you recommend a good book on the subject? Somebody asked me as I was coming in. I said, yes, the Bible. Great book. His guidance will never be contrary to his word. So that's one light. Second light, recognize the will of God in the adverse circumstances of life. Circumstances. And often the adverse circumstances of life will show you what to do. The plan of God, for example, in permitted pain. Read the book of Job. Job learned the God of the plan, who had a plan for his life through pain. And often God hides his face, but he never absents himself from a situation. God might be a God who hides himself, but never a God who absents himself. Sometimes in the dark, but never at a distance. I love that quote. Sometimes in the dark, but never at a distance. And sometimes, like in Job's case, he got very confused about the plan of God until he gets all the way through to chapter 42 and he says, oh, I get it, I get it, I get it. And the more he clearly saw God and related to him, the more he clearly saw the plan that had been permitted. God will permit pain. Can pain be in the will of God? Yes. Look at the cross. Look at Job. But the wonderful thing about recognizing the will of God in the adverse circumstance of life, it's a light on the runway. And you need to look around the situation. Sometimes you only see the will of God in retrospect. You look back and say, oh, get it. That's why. Oh, that's why. I have my mentor, my model, 80 years of age, wonderful lady. She gave a testimony in a conference I was at when she was on her 80th birthday party there. And she said, I love getting old because I can look back and say, oh, that's why. She said, when I was young, I used to say, why? Why did my father die and leave my mother with six children? We lived below the poverty land in Northern Ireland. And why did my husband have to go to the Second World War and be away all that time? And I had to run the whole deal back home and the mission and everything else. And why did my children not have a daddy, because my husband was on the road for God all those years? And she said, now I'm 80, I can look back and say, oh, that's why. That's why. That's why. And then she told us how, because of what God had permitted in her life, the adverse circumstances of life, she was absolutely incredibly ready and suitable to head up one of the biggest missions in the world and understand young people without fathers and understand what it took to raise people without any money and below the poverty line, because that's how they lived in mission for years and years and years, and learn to ask in faith on their knees for the things that were not provided in the normal way. And she kept looking back and saying, well, if I hadn't been this and I hadn't done that, I would never have known how to do this. And so often that's one thing that comes with age. We can look back in retrospect and see the will of God. We can see the will of God. Paul said, the things that happened to me have fallen out to the spread of the gospel. And you can be sure of one thing, that if you are living in pain or in the adverse circumstances of life, the plan of God is that the gospel somehow will be enhanced and disseminated because of it. Paul was in prison, chained to a Roman guard. He led him to Christ. Guy couldn't get away. Every 4 hours, they chained another one to him. They must have said, oh no, it's my turn, chained to that prisoner Paul. And they came to Christ one by one by one. I can see Paul's eyes glinting as he shared the gospel with a guy that couldn't get away. And he says about that, the things that happened to me in jail have fallen out to the spread of the gospel. And now people even in Caesar's household know Christ, because God permitted me to be in prison, chained to a Roman guard. And the wonderful thing is, as you look back in retrospect, you see, like Joseph said, the devil meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And so within the plan of God, there will be adverse circumstance. But remember that God isn't willing that any should perish. That's his will. He's not willing that any should perish. He is willing that all should come to repentance. And one of the reasons he allows us to suffer and suffer adverse circumstances is for the spread of the gospel.
That's Jill Briscoe on today's Telling the Truth. She returns in a moment with more biblical truth to help you follow God's plan for your life. But first, for many people, the new year will usher in a great amount of fear and uncertainty. That's why your generous support to keep Telling the Truth on air and online is so important. Your gift this month helps bring assurance from God's word to people around the world in need of peace and joy that comes from knowing Jesus. As thanks for your generosity, we want to send you a copy of God's Will for My Life, a 5-message series by Stuart, Jill, and Pete Briscoe. Through this insightful Bible teaching, you'll learn how to step forward in faith and follow God's will for your life. So request your copy when you give to help more people experience life in Christ. Call 1-800-889-5388. That's 1-800-889-5388. Or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. For many, our smartphones have become our social connection, but we want to help you make a spiritual connection with the Telling the Truth mobile app. You can listen to daily programs, engage in reading plans, journal, and share your thoughts and prayers on the community wall. Get the Telling the Truth app through your app store or log on at tellingthetruth.org/mobile app. Remember, you can give to support Telling the Truth on our mobile app or via text when you send TTT to 313131. Text TTT to 313131. Okay, now let's get back to Jill with more of today's message, Finding God's Will for Me.
So that's a light. Sometimes circumstances get us into a corner and you need to look around and say, okay, so where's my God that I need to lead to Christ in this particular situation? What do you want me to do? And then you need to listen to advice. That's another light. Seek wise counsel. Make plans by seeking advice, Proverbs 20:18. Make plans by seeking advice. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. For waging war, you need guidance. For victory, many advisors, Proverbs 24:6. For lack of guidance, a nation falls, but many advisors make victory sure. So find godly people that know you well, that know you really well, and ask their advice. Common sense doesn't mean a lack of faith. Use your head. Do the obvious. God expects us to use our reasoned judgment, which is another name for common sense. Dawson Trotman said, God gave you a lot of leading when he gave you your head. So don't be stupid, in other words. The will of God is like going towards traffic lights, and you're supposed to run your life on green. You've got to be going. You can't guide a stationary car. So you've got to be going towards what you think is the will of God or the right decision. You've got to live your life on green. And then try and be obedient if you go to red or a caution, go slow. But most people sit there and wait. What do they wait for? They wait for the green. They think they have to live their life on the red or on the yellow. No, you live your life on green. You've got to be going. And as you're going, God can guide you and he can put out those traffic lights for you. And so lights along the runway help. Inner peace. Is that feelings? No. It's deeper than that. It's to do with prayer. It's to do with prayer. So there are many lights along the runway. The word of God, circumstances, common sense, timing, the advice of other Christians. Very practical things. And if you have a big dilemma and a big decision to make, make sure you get as many lit as you can. And you can't get them all lit, but get more than one. Some people have said, well, I just have peace about it. And I'm landing on this decision just on that. What does the word of God say? What do people that know you best say? What about your circumstances? Da, 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 da. Well, no, I just feel that God is convicting me to do this. That can be one light. Don't land on one light. Seek God. So we discover the will of God by knowing God, following Christ, keeping in step with the Spirit, the Christian life. What would Daddy do? We do the will of God in the macro, in our little micro way, by landing on our decisions and practically looking for all those lights lit along the runway. Common sense, being in the Word of God, inner conviction, advice of other Christians, circumstances, etc. Common sense. And then we want to delight in the will of God. And the perfect story in the Bible is the story of Jonah. Because Jonah didn't want to do the will of God that was revealed to him. He had absolutely no problem figuring what it was, because apparently God leaned out of heaven and in a loud voice said, go to Nineveh. And he went to Tarshish, which was in the opposite direction, as far away as he could get. So what happens if you don't want to do the will of God and you start resisting or running like Jonah did? What is your Nineveh? It might be that you know very well what you should do. You should give up that non-Christian girlfriend or boyfriend. You should quit playing with the sin. Whatever. But you're resisting, like Jonah. You don't want to go to Nineveh and deal with it. And what happened to him is he got on a boat, and three times it says he went down. He went down to Joppa. He went down in the boat, and he went down in the whale. And when you're resisting and running away from what God wants you to do for your life, you'll find yourself going down, down spiritually. Not only that, he caused havoc on the boat for other people. And if you allow your spiritual temperature to go cold, you will affect everybody around you. You cannot sin as a Christian by resisting the will of God and not affect those people around you. And the soldiers around him were affected by the storm that Jonah caused because of his disobedience. And so we find him affecting others, causing havoc, running away, because he told them, I'm running away from the will of God. And so, of course, we know the story. They tried to get the boat to shore. It wouldn't go. The storm got worse. And they said to Jonah, what do we do to you so the storm will stop for us? And he said, throw me overboard. Because he knew the storm that he had caused was affecting others. And so he repented in chapters 2 and 3. And God gave him a second chance. God is a God of the second chance. And he hit rock bottom. And he said, God, if you get me out of this pit, I'll go to Nineveh. And God did. And so he went. And he preached. The whole city came to Christ, or came to God. And in chapter 4, we find him resenting the will of God. So we find him running away, repenting, but Even though he was doing the will of God, he was doing it with a sour spirit and a bad attitude. And God is just as concerned about how we do the will of God as doing the will of God that we discover. And God begins to deal with him. And we see in chapter 4 the anger of Jonah and the compassion of God. And he says, why are you so angry? And Jonah said, because I don't like Ninevites. And I didn't want to do this. And they've all been forgiven. And I don't think they deserve it. And I want vengeance. I want them to get theirs. And I knew this would happen if I preached the gospel to them. The gospel of grace. I just want to die. So he's so angry. He's resenting the will of God. There's all sorts of ways you can do the will of God. Oh, all right. God isn't impressed.
You're listening to Jill Briscoe today on Telling the Truth. She'll be back to conclude her message, but first, there's a helpful resource you'll want to know about. Understanding God's will for our lives can be a struggle. Maybe His will isn't what you expected, or maybe you just can't see how all the pieces fit together. That's why we want to help you discover God's plan by sending you God's Will for My Life, a 5-message series by Stuart, Jill, and Pete Briscoe. This eye-opening Bible teaching will help you know who God wants you to be and what He wants you to do. God's Will for My Life is our thanks for your donation to keep telling the truth on air and online, helping you and others experience life in Christ. So call now to get your copy of God's Will for My Life, 1-800-889-5388. That's 1-800-889-5388, or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. Now, here's Jill to wrap up today's teaching.
He says, do you well to be angry? Don't like your attitude. I remember my mother. I never wanted to help my mother. I was a very selfish child. And my father was sitting by a big fire. We didn't have central heating, and it was warm and cozy, and I was reading a book, and he looks up at me and he says, go and help your mother in the kitchen. I didn't want to. So I arrived next to my mother like a small tornado with a bad attitude. She took one look at my face and said, I'd rather do without your help with a face like that. Get out of the kitchen. Well, then I got out of the kitchen, but I didn't dare go back into the lounge. So I stood in the freezing cold in the hall, waiting till I thought my father would figure I'd helped her and it was time I could come back. And then I went back whistling and picked up my book, and he looked up and he said, why are you back so soon? You've been helping your mother. And I sort of mumbled something. He said, go and help your mother. So I finished up in the hall again. Now I didn't dare go back to mother. It was the most miserable experience of my life. And you know what I love about God? He doesn't want us standing in the hall. He wants to see us delighting in helping mother, or doing whatever it is that he wants us to do. Doing whatever daddy wants us to do. And so are you rejoicing, or are you resisting, or are you doing the will of God with a bad attitude? If you're going to delight in the will of God, you've got to let God do something about that heart of yours. And just come home to the will of God. Home is the will of God for the child of God. So we need to discover the will of God. We need to do the will of God. Practically find out the little micro bit that I have to decide. And then we have to do it and delight in it. Just delight in it. And that's what he's after. How do I know that Jonah changed his mind, started to delight in the will of God? He wrote the book. It's his testimony. Didn't need to put chapter 4 in. Didn't show him up in a very good light, did it? And whether he wrote it personally or gave it to somebody to write, it's his story. And he just didn't put on the end. So I came to rest in the will of God and delight in the will of God. But I believe that's what happened. And I would like to think that's what's going to happen in every one of our lives.
Thanks, Jill. Before we close out today's program, did you know Telling the Truth is only possible through the support of friends like you? Your generosity keeps these Bible teachings coming your way and going out around the world. So if you've never had the opportunity to give, please consider giving a gift today to help more people experience life in Christ through this broadcast. As our way of saying thanks, we'll send you God's Will for My Life, a 5-message series by the Briscoes that will lead you on a journey through the scriptures to discover God's plan for your life. Your generous support today helps you and thousands more people like you discover God's design for their life through solid biblical teaching. So get your copy of God's Will for My Life when you give today to help keep this broadcast going strong. Call 1-800-889-5388. 1-800-889-5388. You can also give online at tellingthetruth.org. That's tellingthetruth.org. It's a joy being with you today. Don't miss out on more life-changing truth from God's Word next time on Telling the Truth. Listen in and experience life.